ஓம் நம சிவாய். டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூ ஆர் அபவுட் டு லிசன் கவாய் ஹிந்து லெக்சர்ஸ். தி டைட்டில்ஸ் ஆர் கர்மா, வாட் வி கிவ் ரிட்டர்ன், கான்சன்ட்ரேஷன் அண்ட் யூத், கிரிட்டிசிசம். பிரசன்டட் பை ஸ்ரீ சத்குரு சிவாய சுப்பிரமணிய சுவாமி. தேங்க்யூ. ஓம் நம சிவாய்.
Welcome to Today at Kwarinam, October 14th, our electronic ashram in cyberspace. We welcome you. In our reception hall, the beautiful marble project continues. Oh, the Los Angeles Times, one of the largest newspapers in California, journalists called and asked for the Hindu point of view for forgiveness. He is writing an article for the Templeton Fund Project. And also, Professor Kasumita Peterson contacted us through fax, and she's doing an article on loving kindness. And this is for the loving kindness of all the religions of the world for the World Council of Churches. The belief that makes some people and animals expendable and others are saved and should be saved and others can be killed and not even have a soul. Great exploration. Again, we are helping from the Hindu point of view, and Merging Retrieve is progressing very nicely. Every day I'm reading on digital cassette, one or two or three of the daily lessons. It'll soon be available. Remember a few days ago, or a week or two ago, I mentioned that a representative of the World Parliament of Religions, the international organization that had a fantastic conference in Chicago, is holding another one in South Africa. Well, the representative, when she came here, we talked to her about the major belief that we have, that if children are beaten in the home, if children are molested, if children are treated badly, put down verbally, emotionally, allowed to be in distress, that a new age, a new life, a future for all the religions is really, really doomed. Well, this was very difficult for her to accept, but after a good lunch and more talking, she said, "I have come to terms with this." We received a very, very nice fax from her saying that, yes, we intend to make this the centerpiece of the World Parliament of Religions 1999 in South Africa, and we're going to discuss this thoroughly. We put her in touch with the EPOC organization and other organizations to strengthen and give her all of the pamphlets and knowledge necessary to make this happen. For those of you who are contributing to building the Erevan Temple, a beautiful place where the wish-fulfilling Shiva Lingam, 700-pound crystal, will reside, I wrote a little article about begging. We're all beggars on this earth. A professional beggar is one who knows how to release money from people. We just had several of our Mathavasi monks, yogis, and sadhaka come back from India where they experienced professional beggars. For instance, here's a little story. Just as you're leaving the airport, you come across a little old lady who is too frail, uneducated, too sickly to ever find employment. At 80 years of age in India, who would employ anyone? And you reach into your pocket and pull out some last remaining rupees that you might have, and then going through a dilemma. Shall I give her 40 rupees? At this stage of her poverty, 40 rupees would seem like $40 to her. Actually, one U.S. dollar is worth 40 rupees. And the dilemma continues. Well, I think just 10. But I do have to give something. 10 rupees. It's just about like 20 cents, you know, in U.S. currency. Then your hand comes upon a 100 rupee note. And it sort of clings to your hand, and you look at it and you say, and your superconscious mind, your still small voice, your intuitive nature says to you, that little old lady there, too frail, too sickly to get a job to support herself, too elderly, all of her relatives probably died or run off someplace. That might just be me in a future life. So you say, oh, what the hell, I'll invest in the future. And you give it to her. And she stashes away and gives you a little knowing smile and looks right into your eyes. And you remember this. You've invested into the future. You can give nothing away. Well, the lesson today is we can give nothing away. It always comes back to us. Whatever it is. Gold, silver, money, kindness, unkindness, whatever we give out, physically, mentally, emotionally, will make that big boomerang cycle and come back to us. We can't avoid it. The law of karma, which means action, has an equal and ever-building sometimes effect depending upon the emotion involved, the generosity involved in our giving. You cannot give anything away. I'm giving to you. It's going to come back to me. I'm investing in my future. You take my message and you give it to someone else. It's going to come back to you. You're investing in your future because you're improving life on planet Earth. And we're all here to improve life on planet Earth. We're all here to help each other, love each other, take care of each other, not ignore each other. There are no throwaway people. I mean, even the Christian big book says, given you shall receive. Is that not the law of karma right there? Buddhists say the same thing. We must take it seriously and use that law of karma. It works better than Las Vegas. To win there, you have to own the casino. Life is a gamble, to be sure. We really don't know the next doorway we're going to go through and what's going to happen once we get through it. We don't know about tomorrow, but we do know about yesterday. But what we do know is that what we give out, we're going to get back. And if you go into the next room tomorrow, you're going to give out what you gave back and put in that room. You decorated that room. You hung the chandeliers. You furnished that room by positive or negative actions of the past. This is the divine law. This was a law that was rejected and is rejected even today by the Abrahamic religions. But rejecting the law of gravity does not mean that the law of gravity does not exist. What you give out, you will get back. Now the person who gave the 100-rupee note to the little old lady that was so frail, so sickly, that really was in need, will have returned 200 rupees, 300 rupees, four, or even more, depending on the release of the gift. Many people give and have strings attached. I mean, this is happening in our Hindu temples right around the world. Big givers give and expect to be honored, have a place in management, manage their money. They're actually buying into the corporation and also getting the credit of being a giver, a patron, a big donor. Well, that too has its problems. Because we can't do two things and get two benefits at the same time. A true gift is no name attached. A true gift is a total release. A true gift is not an investment in our building up of our ego. It is an investment in the future of this life and the future of lives to come. Well, I sat down here to talk with you in cyberspace, and through our computers we are communicating. I had no idea what I was going to say. This just started rolling out. I must be talking to someone out there who needs to hear these words. Who are you? Well, communicate with me. Send an email and let me know who you are who needed to hear these words. I'll be seeing you in all of our familiar computers here and there and around the world. About 18 to 20 different countries are watching and participating in the daily activities of today at Quiet Enum, our electronic cyberspace ashram. See you tomorrow. And that will be October 15th. Today at Quiet Enum, Daily Diary, October 15th. In our electronic ashram in cyberspace, publisher's desk meeting today. This means all the editors and writers of Hinduism today gathered together in our cedar room around a big table and review the major articles for 1999. This happens about every 5 or 6 days, and during the time we are together, we telephone one of our journalists in London or New Delhi, Australia, one or another parts of the world. Well, 2 cows left yesterday, so we have more room in our pasture for some young ones. We keep our cows, our old cows, until they make their transition. They've given us milk for many, many years, and if we give a cow to someone else, we make sure that it's not to be eaten. It's a great sin in the Hindu religion, Sanatana Dharma, to eat a cow. And the penance for that will come up in the next life. Now, many people who eat cows who are Hindus don't believe that the penance will come up in the next life. Well, cows are like people. They're mammals. We shouldn't eat dolphins or whales or any that are like us that can give birth to young. Think about it. Now, we've thought about it, so we'll go on. We had a lot of visitors yesterday that we didn't even have time to take their pictures to show them to you. About 10, 15 people came from various parts of the world. They enjoyed Quiet Enum and were taken around by our wonderful Madhavasi guides who explained to them our beautiful philosophy that there is one God, one world, and that God is within everyone. There's some things God cannot do. He cannot take himself out of you. That's one thing for sure. The all-powerful God cannot take himself out of you. And that's really heartening for visitors to hear, that the energy in the body comes from God, that the light that lights up our thoughts come from God. But that gives a lot of security. I get many letters, and now on email, and letters too, about help me with my examination, from Malaysia, from Singapore, from all over the world. Help me with my examination. My memory is so poor I cannot concentrate. Well, many children these days are forced into educational procedures to awaken abilities that they have no aptitude for. If you do not have concentration, well, let's talk about it. Concentration is preceded by attention. Attention, concentration, meditation, contemplation, samadhi, or oneness with the all of the all or God. Attention, concentration, meditation, contemplation, becoming one with the all, and then samadhi, becoming the all. So what is attention? What holds our attention? What we are interested in holds our attention. Therefore, concentration comes naturally. Unfortunately, families want a doctor in their family. They want an engineer in their family. And now it's a computer engineer. I knew a young man who was becoming an engineer. I said, What are you learning? Turned out he was just becoming an automobile mechanic to work in a garage. We have to look at education as a buying a product. Buying a product. Once the product is purchased, then we learn to use that product. Think about it. If you buy a product for a young person who is born to be a great artist, is born to be a great dancer or musician, and the product is something he's not interested in, and then he is forced to learn through humiliation, through beatings. Many families do this, even in Hinduism, that believes in ahimsa, not harming or hurting mentally, physically, or emotionally. And those who do, knowing ahimsa, the bad karma comes back on them so quickly. Bad karma comes back so fast. But back to the subject. Subject is attention, concentration, meditation. According to the astrology of a young person, his natural aptitudes may not be for cutting up frogs and later cutting up humans. Maybe for something very, very different. We have to understand the nature. We have to understand the aptitude. We have to understand what holds the attention of the individual. Maybe he's not born to be wealthy off the hurts and spoils of others. Maybe he's born to be poor, but a great artist that can inspire and uplift others. Maybe he's born to be a sannyasin, a spiritual leader, a minister, a missionary, the divine. It's the parents' duty, for they are the first guru. To go to the second guru, someone such as me, and this often happens with parents, almost once or twice a week, we hear from parents who ask us, what should our children be when they grow up? We analyze their character, we analyze their astrology, we analyze their aptitude, give good advice. And through the last 50 years, much of this advice has worked out beautifully. Fine, productive people. But still others who think they know it all ignore the ability of the soul expressing itself in the physical world of their offsprings. And they force them into marriages, force them into education, force them to make money, and force them to be unhappy. Concentration is an outgrowth of attention. Now to the real subject we want to talk about. If you cannot concentrate and you're having problems with concentration, you do not have to take pills and all the wonderful things that improve your memory. You just have to find something you're interested in that holds your attention. Concentration, therefore, is the byproduct that develops what holds your attention. And finally, you can meditate. And finally, you get closer to your inner self. Well, I don't know how I got on this subject, but it has really impressed me with the number of letters and email communications that we get of, I can't concentrate, basically saying, I don't like what my family's forcing me into. Let's have compassion on the youth and develop the qualities within them that they were born on planet Earth to develop. Well, that's a deep subject. Well, I'll be seeing you tomorrow in our familiar place. All the races that, and all the many faces that are tuning in from Ireland and Switzerland and Denmark and Sweden, Germany, Spain. We have a list, too long to read to you. India, Sri Lanka, Mauritius, Madagascar. Tuning into our cyberspace ashram with just a little bit of peace, knowledge. Some people are wondering what darshan means. Darshan simply means to see and to feel at the same time. It's a Sanskrit word that means to see and to feel at the same time. And when I use the word darshan, it means to see and feel. I have your darshan. That means I see you and I feel you. You have my darshan. You see me and you feel as I feel. Om Namah Shivaya. We're moving on very rapidly. Many people are preaching the end of the world. Going to happen next year. Well, let's hope so. The end of all the worst of the world. Just leave the best. And we'll go on from there into a new age. And remember, a new age begins harmony and peace in the home. Raising the children without being afraid of their parents. Well, we're kind of running out of time here. And I'll be seeing you in our very familiar place. Looking at you. Positive affirmation. Think about it. I love you. You love me. I love you. You love me. That's a good affirmation to say to people that you're a little edgy about, that I'm quite pleased you, or maybe teasing you. Change the attitude by changing the belief. We'll gather together tomorrow. Cyberspace comrades, we'll be together tomorrow. Today at Kwarinam. Well, it's October 16th. The month is moving on. We're halfway through and we'll never see this month again. But it will remain in our memories. Working on merging with Shiva and finishing up tweaks and tweeps of just a little thing, a word here and a word there to make it more and more perfect, beautiful. Comments and reviews are coming in daily. Also, I worked today on the Shum Chief lexicon of the Shum language of meditation, which is being perfected, and we hopefully in a year or two will be published. This day was an interesting day. We had criticisms and corrections. The Hare Krishnas, who admittedly claimed not to be Hindu, today wrote us a letter saying, yes, indeed, they are called Hindu by other people, and therefore, aren't they Hindu? This is an ongoing discussion that's been going on for years. Most things in religions never end when controversy begins, and controversy is very interesting. We also had another controversy come up with the Bhagavad Gita. I mentioned in Merging with Shiva that the Bhagavad Gita is known in India as a book of carnage by eminent Swamis there. One Swami from America, though he's from India, took exception to this and wrote and said, how can you break down our faith by saying the Bhagavad Gita is a book of carnage? We had to write him a letter and quote the very famous Chit Bhavananda Swami. He said in his book, it has to be admitted, and I quote, it has to be admitted that nature is an extensive slaughterhouse. Killing can no more be avoided than heat while residing in the sun. To a knowing one, duty such as warfare is as sacred as worship in a sanctuary. And this is what he wrote. This being the message of the Gita, meaning the Bhagavad Gita, it has to be accepted as a gospel of carnage. And of course, we know that 600 million people are said to be killed in that great war. And Lord Krishna is said to have encouraged that happening for the sake of Dharma, which we quite Americans in the 1940s couldn't understand how the Bhagavad Gita could be called the scripture of Hinduism. Of course, it's not. The Vedas are the preeminent scripture of the Sanatana Dharma. And maybe that's why there's so many riots in India. Now, right now, there are riots in India on the streets over the price of onions. Can you believe it? We had a guest today who gave us some valuable advice and it could be taken as criticism about how we should handle guests. Maybe we're not doing so well, but we're doing the best we can. And in every advice and criticism that comes, it's like an oyster. There's a pearl on the inside. And now we come to the subject of today, which is criticism. Have you ever been criticized and didn't like the person that criticized you? No way can you hang on to that dislike, because you attracted the criticism to yourself because of past deeds, maybe in past lives. I would say it's unprofessional behavior. We have been watching biographies of the professional people in Hollywood who have had a career from 14 years of age to into their 70s. Criticism is their tool. They pay to be criticized. They pay big bucks to be criticized. We send our books out to 50, 60 eminent scholars, professors, religious leaders, to have them criticized, and we love what we get back. Now, if you are criticized, that means you are somebody, somebody worth singling out of the crowd. When you are corrected, that means somebody loves you. They want you to be better according to their standards. The choice is yours whether you accept the criticism or accept the correction. Someone you love, you accept the correction because you want to please them. Somebody is criticizing you, you accept the pearl from the criticism. It's like an oyster. In oyster form, they grow pearls in oysters. You have to open up the oyster, remove the pearl. Am I making a point here? Am I making a point? I think so, because this applies to all of us. The more public we become, and you can be public in an extended family of 30 people living in two or three homes close by, those who love you will correct you in a gentle way. Often people criticize you behind your back. And if you hear that happening, take the jewel and adjust yourself so it doesn't happen. People tell lies about you. Live so that no one will believe them. We all have to live on planet Earth as a one unified family of humankind. This is very important, because we are not living as one unified family of humankind at this time on planet Earth. And there are international conferences, national conferences, and local conferences to try to make this happen. I know two international conferences now that are fighting with each other as to which one should be following the other one. They won't both want to be the international conference to bring world peace and harmony among the religions of the world. Now that seems strange, doesn't it? But it's true. Well, nothing's wrong with the religions of the world. It's just the people within them who are not practicing the religion, but maybe promoting it. My advice to you and to all of us is, when you are criticized and when you are corrected, accept it graciously. Take the pearl out of the oyster, and those many, many pearls strung on a thread will make you look wonderful when put around your neck. You then will be the center of attraction, because you will have adjusted yourself to everyone around you. It's a fruitless effort to make everyone adjust to you. Have you ever tried it? I have. It didn't work. Well, I'll be seeing you in our familiar place, looking at our cyberspace screen. We'll be loving each other and looking at each other, experiencing darshan. Darshan means seeing and feeling the person that you see.